salvation, we shouldn't put a price on. That if God tells you to do something, you never know what it may need to get someone to come to God. That at that moment, I realized that my truck breaking down, my other truck breaking down, the thousands of dollars that it can cost to repair, that was well worth praying for the salvation of those individuals. That if the first truck wouldn't have broke down and the second truck wouldn't have broke down, I would have never been in the bus in the church to go and meet up with them, that the conversation may have never came up. But the opportunity right there of talking about the bus and talking about church, I was like, wow, God, that you allowed other things that may have looked horrible and bad to happen for the prayer of somebody that needed it, to be able to minister to somebody. That we look at situations in the flesh and go, God, how could this happen to me? You're supposed to rebuke the devourer. You're so this and that. God, why do so many things happen? And then in every instance and everything that seems so bad in the flesh, in the spirit, how great it is. That we need to stop looking at things in the flesh and begin to see what God's trying to work in the spirit, what he's trying to do. And I love this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. It says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He said that you gave to me and you were the only ones. And then it goes on to say in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. When you begin to step out, when you begin to do what God has called you to do, when you give when he says give, when you speak when he says speak, when you shut up when he says shut up, he will supply for all of your needs. That too many times we aren't obedient because we're too afraid in the physical. We're too afraid of what might happen in the physical. But he says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory. What if the body of God would begin to stand up and stop thinking about the flesh and run forward in the spirit? Stop wondering how things will be provided for us. Stop wondering about how we could do this or how we could do that. When we do outreaches to reach the city, we never really put a cap on anything. We just want to bless people. We want to bless them. We want to show them God's love. We don't want to say, well, salvation isn't worth this much. Or salvation isn't worth that much. Too many times we put a price on salvation. Think about it. We put a price on salvation. We put a time, well, it shouldn't take this long. In church, we put a time on how long a service should be. I remember in the 90s, God didn't move until the religious people were gone. Ain't that right? God didn't move until after the time that the religious people would have said, church is over. But we think we need to put a time limit on God. We need to put a cap on the money that we spend on God, on the amount of money that we give. 10%? I think that's just a guideline of where to start off at. Maybe, well, I gave my 10%, I ain't giving no more. Well, that was just what he told you to give. That was your tithe. Now, what about your offering? What about going above and beyond? But then I've seen people, well, I want to bless them, so they take from their tithes to bless someone. If you want to bless someone, bless them with your money, not God's money. You're going to take from God to bless somebody? Why don't you see what God will do in your life when you begin to step out and do something greater? I love, and I've been thinking about it over and over again with Jesus, with the disciples, and they fed the multitudes. He didn't put a cap on how many people they would feed. He didn't say we only have this much. We can only do this much. The church anymore says we can only do this or we can only do that. What if we stop looking at it in the flesh and start looking at it in the spirit, that we have an abundance of anything he wants to give us? That we can begin to step out and bless the community more than we ever have. That we begin to step up and say, God, whatever you want us to do, just tell us. We won't put a cap on it. Whatever you want us to do as a church, we'll do it. Whatever you want us to do as an individual, we'll do it. If God says, get up and give everything that you have away, would you do it? Or would you say, but God? Too many times, men as a family, you know what you say? But I have a family, God. He knows that. And if he tells you to do something, I would rather be in his will than in my will. C.S. Lewis said, read this today, it is not your business to succeed, but to do right. When you have done so, the rest lies with God. It is not your business to succeed, but to do right. And when you have done so, the rest lies with God. We need to be obedient. In America, we strive to be successful. But what is success? I was talking to someone this morning, and they were talking about two different pastors, and how one flowed in the Spirit, and how that's the way you should be. But the other one doesn't, but how much more he's accomplished than the other one. The one individual did so many great things for God, but had a small church. But the other one has a much larger church, doesn't flow in the Spirit, but how much greater things that he's done. And going on about this one, she told about how much this one is right with God and this one's out there more. In her flesh, she knew what was right, but she was talking about how much greater this one has done because of all the more people they have. I would rather flow with God than the flow with people. Jesus never flowed with people. We have gotten to a point in the church that we have eliminated the Holy Spirit. We have eliminated God. That if the government would have come into the church to eliminate God, in most churches, they wouldn't have to change anything. It's the truth. I've been to churches that say we don't say Holy Spirit and we don't say this and we don't say that and we don't say this from the pulpit. Then you're not a church. I want more demons to start manifested in this place. Not out of y'all. But that God has drawn them in here so they can be delivered and set free. And a lot of times, that's one of pastors' worst fears. Because it does scare some people off. But there's a new season and a new time coming. I'm just sharing my heart with you tonight. That there has to be a time, and I truly believe before Christ comes back, that the church has to go back to what it was called to be. We followed religion for too long. Jesus came to break religion. That they were too stuck on things that they so-called believed in. They didn't like change. They didn't like anything out of the ordinary. They didn't like anything that was different than what they were used to. But I'm telling you today that Christ is coming back, and before he does, he's getting ready to turn the church into something it's not used to. There's something more he's getting ready to do, something greater that people won't be used to, but it's what he wants to do. He's coming back for that spotless bride. It is coming to a point now that we have to make a decision which way we will go. I truly believe that these will be some of the greatest times, some of the greatest miracles that we've ever seen. I believe a revival is beginning to break out, and I see something greater to come. We haven't begun to see what greatness He will pour out, the greater things He's getting ready to pour out upon this place, upon America. I believe He's going to begin to shake America. We need to be ready. I believe there's going to be more natural disasters that begin to occur. And He's calling the church, and I truly believe that we need to begin to give and give and give. I see us as a body, as a church, beginning to do as Jesus did, beginning to feed people, beginning to give to people, and God will continue and continue and continue to make there more than enough. I see individuals coming into this house for more and more and more, and they begin to sense God's love and God's presence, and lives begin to get changed. How many of you want to be a part of that? God's been speaking to me lately. He keeps saying, share your heart. Share your heart. And so many times He puts stuff on our heart, and what do? Is we keep it in our heart. I believe God has put something, and He's going to continue to put things on your heart. And He hasn't put it on your heart always just for you, but He's putting it on your heart for you to share to others. And I encourage you tonight that as He begins to do this, begin to share it. Begin to share what He has on your heart. He's not putting it there so it sits dormant inside of you. He's not putting it there so that you stay quiet. He's going to begin to put things on your heart for you to begin to speak out, for you to begin to touch others by it. He's going to be given to get words of knowledge like never before. But He needs your obedience. He needs your obedience. The world is hungry for something, but the church isn't. The world is hungry for something, but the church isn't. The world is searching for something. And He's saying tonight to get outside of these four walls and begin to lead them to what they're searching for. He's telling you tonight to get out from beyond these four walls, begin to show them what they're searching for. He can't do it with a bunch of people inside the church. He wants to use the people inside the church to get outside of the church. Are you willing and are you ready to do what He's called you to do? That this is the time and this is the place. That He's waiting for a people to rise up and to begin to be obedient and do what He's called you to do.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.